Voice of the Cape, Drive Time, welcome back to the show. A new report has been launched to stimulate a changed economy and a renewal of our growth trajectory. What a word to use. The proposed alternative economic strategy for South Africa by Dr. Ntasi Bang Moleko and Professor Mark Swilling could see GDP doubling in 10 years. So, what's the magic? Online is development economist at the University of the Stellenbosch Business School, Dr. Ntasi Bang Moleko. Dr. Moleko, welcome.
Nabi Singh. Thank you so much for having me and good afternoon.
All right, let's have a look at the proposal to improve growth in our economy, to get us on a growth trajectory. How are we going to do it?
Well, I think for us as South Africa, we need to take stock that the things we're doing are not working. The underpinning fundamental that we have done after doing a diagnostic assessment, we looked at 17 key variables that tell you the performance and the health of your economy. And we did this over 25, 50 years for some of the variables. And what we found across the economy, for instance, if you look at gross fixed capital formation, there's actually disinvestment, i.e. the proportion to GDP of investment coming from both the private and the public sector in terms of investment level is actually on the decline year on year. We are by far lower than where we are in 1994 in terms of investment into reinvestment. The other indices you can look at in terms of health of the economy is just things like unemployment rate, private sector credit extension and the like. And you can see across the spectrum that all the indices are actually pointing downwards. And it's not an issue of COVID. I think one of the things, Ibrahim, we have to be very clear on is that COVID simply accentuated already the structural failures and the market failures that South Africa's economy was experiencing. COVID simply multiplied it. But these were already in place prior to COVID. Technical recessions, downgrades were examples of indices or indicators that the health of our economy really needed to be rebooted. So what we have said is, let us go back to the beginning. And the beginning requires us to analyze why we are where we are. So we did that in the report. It's called New Wine into New Wine Skins, and you can download that at the USB website. But what we have said is that, one, we need a decisive economic strategy that is underpinned by enhancing productivity. What does that mean is that we want to have a South Africa that produces household goods, that produces your enterprise manufacturing goods that come into businesses and into households. We want to make sure that we enhance our productivity. Two, we also push that we must have inclusive value chains and distribution channels. So even if you're an SMME and you're trying to enter into the economy, because of the oligopolies across the subsectors of our economy, you are unlikely to penetrate the market. If you do, cartels or oligopolies are able to manipulate prices in most of the subsectors and squeeze you out so that you don't make profits and then you actually have to close shop. So we've looked at some of the subsectors, and particularly retail is one of them. And we focused on the supermarket value chain. You find that there's three companies that control 82% of our market share. If you add the two more, it's 96%. This is an abnormal anomaly in most countries where you have five companies controlling literally hundreds of billions of value in terms of supply side. And I think we have said and made very clear recommendations in that regard. And I think a third that we have said is there must be an energy transition. And if you're going to develop renewables, it must be localized. If you're going to have a renewables energy-based growth path, which is what is being proposed in the new IRPs, we're saying that the 5 gigawatts that's going to come from South Africa, we want those parts, those components. The entire value chain should be South African companies, should be new entrants, should be black-owned companies, businesses, urban areas, rural owners, subsectors within the different provincial clusters that actually produce what is needed so that we don't use all of our resources to import goods. And I think that requires the level of coordination that we haven't seen before in South Africa across all the different state agencies and national agencies. And so some of these proposals are contained in the report, and I think I'll allow you to continue to peruse.
Yes, indeed. You know, your emphasis on productivity, inclusive value chains, the whole retail monopolies, I think everybody knows about that. But I'm just going to quickly zone in on energy transition. I mean, what I've been observing just from the media side, I'm not an economic expert, is that when I probe details are not always forthcoming on these questions. Everybody says, yes, we have to have energy transition. There's wind farms in the Western Cape, and then there's a dot, 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 dot on the page.
So in terms of your question, so what we propose, I don't know, I think in terms of detail, I can give you some detail. When we talk about energy and what do we mean? So South Africa currently right now is in need of, currently we have 90% of our energy comes from what we call coal-fired power generation.
Right.
So that 80 to 90% is actually going downwards because of the fossil fuels. So we have to close about 14 of our 16 coal-fired plants by 2050. This is not because of any other reason other than the age of the power stations and also the disinvestment into coal-fired power stations, but also because fossil fuels are running out globally. So there's a lot more experts who would know about the projections and all that, particularly Prof. Swilling. But the issue then is, what are the replacements going to be? So in terms of detail, what South Africa has then put in place is an IRP program that is 20, 30, 40-year forward-looking. This has been done by the Department of Mineral and Energy. So our proposal in the one leg of our strategic interventions called industrialization and how you do that, we propose that if you have an energy-led or what we call renewable-led industrialization growth path, that means underpinning your growth of your economy, because you need energy as you grow, you must actually increase your energy outcomes. So how you do that, so one of the subsectors in your frontier products is energy, and I'll go into some of the details. Solar panels, wind farm components, solar storage boilers, there's a whole lot of components around the grid, batteries, inverters, controllers around chargers. These items have to be produced somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about the targeted employment that is needed in South Africa, which is why it's important to look at the labor intensity of some of these subsectors, labor intensity in small-scale manufacturing is actually quite high. And I think in renewables, if the approach is to say we want to improve our economic infrastructure across the board, and the reason you would want to do that is South Africa has pots of economic concentration and lack because of our historical inequalities. Therefore, you need to spread the economic infrastructure and the production of some of these goods outside of your current urban concentration parts. So you need to therefore look at your areas that are in your subsectors, like the rural areas in the Eastern Cape and KZN, in Northern Cape and so forth, that don't necessarily have the type of interventions that, let's say, Western Cape and Gauteng would need because of the advanced level in terms of infrastructure. So that's number one. The second thing I think we have pulled out in terms of unemployment and energy specifically is that the energy translation, because of the what we are looking at is about 5 gigawatts over, let's say, the next, I think it's 10 years. If you do that, the implication of that is that you have to downsize what comes from coal. So the number that comes from coal is about 56,000 in terms of numbers, in terms of mining supply. That will have a direct impact, particularly in Mpumalanga, where there is a concentration of mining. Therefore, if you are going to have a replacement, or what is happening right now in terms of minerals and energy, which is called the transition, the energy transition, where you have a mix, energy mix, you therefore need to look at what are you going to do with the unemployment that will go up in those areas. You surely need to have a plan in place to deal with the need for the transition. So our education system should look at, particularly TVET colleges, reviewing the curricula to produce artisans, engineers, and operators and maintenance workers that are going to feed directly into this growing energy sector and the manufacturing of these components. But this requires planning, right? It
yes.
cannot just be done haphazardly. So you need to therefore tie in your public procurement of your renewable energy, which is called the REI triple PP, and that your state-owned entities have the internal capacity to produce and to procure from local manufacturers, particularly with the procurement bill of your renewable energy. And I think that the scale at which this can happen is massive. But if we don't localize, and I think South Africans must put push for that. If we don't localize and we don't have it at provincial clusters, we will miss this boat because there's a massive opportunity for job creation, but also localizing and industrializing through the provincial clusters.
Indeed. In fact, you preempted what was going to be my next question, which I think is central to a lot of the things we're discussing. Industrialization and growth has to be decentralized because we still have what I call the economic geography of apartheid in terms of the big centers. Hence, I think some of the monopolies that we see. This is critical, isn't it, decentralizing? But as you say, we have to decentralize wisely, don't we? We have to sort of have nodes, I suppose, which is a real economic cliche, but I mean, that's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, so South Africa in reality has what we call a dual economy, and I think this comes from the time of previous former President Thabo Mbeki, who was very well able to articulate this issue, is that we have a parallel economy. We've got a rural economy or an urban economy, and the two are very different. If you live in Limpopo or in Giani, or you're living in Umbu in the Eastern Cape, or you are living in one of the rural areas deep in KZN, your life is very different to someone who's living in Cape Town, Pretoria, or even Durban. So the metros, the urban areas, the lifestyle, the household level of income, the opportunities in terms of economics are vastly different. How do you break that? One of the proposals we have made as a strategic intervention is the issue of the food production as an aspect in rural development. Rural development must go with hand in hand with economic transition. The post-apartheid economic strategies and also the, I think, the agricultural development strategies haven't sufficiently dealt with the dualistic South African economy. So you've got the one in terms of farming. So you've got the one subsector which is highly resource capital intensive, and it's largely white-owned commercial farming versus everyone else who has very low resources, is largely small to medium and struggling in terms of getting the implements into improving agricultural productivity. So you see there that the household incomes vastly very differently between your urban areas. And if you look at Stats SA numbers even, the level and concentration of unemployment is at around 40-45% and higher for your rural provinces versus your urban nodes. Therefore, what we say is that the existing mechanisms, South Africa has a lot of money that they spend on agricultural products, agricultural programs, agricultural support. However, we have looked at them and said that they are quite ineffective. They're ineffective in various ways. They do not deal with the historical inadequacies in terms of development part. So the investment is still going to the concentrated areas. If you do an audit of the land bank, you'd probably be surprised to find this. But these are some of the findings that we have. The second thing we have said is that the investment in infrastructure and the architecture of your primarily rural areas needs to be dealt with decisively if we want them to catch up to your urban nodes. And I think some of the investment spoken about in the presidential recovery plan, are they targeted at your rural nodes? Are they targeted outside your urban areas so that you can deal with the issue of economic migrancy, deal with the issue of catching up and equating incomes across the distribution networks? And I think we need to deal with that. And then the third thing we have put in place is to say there's alternative rural development strategies that you can have. And I think we've put out, there's about 10 points that I won't be able to mention now. But one of them is the pattern of distribution of assets and market access. Clearly, the supply chain, which you look at the food value chain, the supermarkets, the constraints and the level of intricacy and the cost of entering, if you are a small business, into a Pick and Pay or a Massmart or a Woolworths, the kind of inputs you would need to simply supply a product on their shelf, we've looked at this and assessed it in detail. It's what we call hindrances to entry. And I think that this Competition Act and the necessary bodies that look at these oligopolies and the behavior of oligopolies need to look at that so that the market access can be opened to new entrants. If you don't deal with that, you will systemically continue to exclude potential new entrants because capital intensive and resource, highly resourced commercial farmers, which have always had access, will continue to provide and supply goods. Goods that are imported will continue to wipe out our small SMMEs and prevent them from entering purely from a price basis. And if you don't support sufficiently new entrants that are local, we won't be able to deal with the issue of SMEs growing the economy, because we talk a lot about it, but where are these SMEs going to supply their goods?
Absolutely.
It's in our markets.
Yeah.
It's in our supermarkets. And how do they access these supermarkets if they are constrained with oligopolies controlling prices, controlling supply chain? And I think there has to be a focus there to make sure that South Africans can actually enter into these value chains. And I think that we emphasize that in the report as well. And there's a case study particularly on the retail chain and the supply side of that and the dynamics. And I think we haven't successfully dealt with it post 25 years of our democracy. And I think it's something that can be reviewed and done, but I think we need to be accepting that this is not normal and we need to respond with adequate policies and measures. And if we need to change our acts in terms of what is dominance, what is acceptable, how do we ensure entry of SMEs into all of our value chains, household goods, food production, and we're serious about making localization a reality, those things have to be reviewed. It's not a negotiable.
Dr. Nabiseng Moleko, development economist at Stellenbosch Business School. We've just scratched the surface, but let's hope somebody high up listens and learns and actually applies. Dr. Moleko, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the week.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope so too.